Man, man. If I don't light your fire, your wood's wet. Man, it's so good to have Brother Holmes with us this morning. Again, pastor at Bethel Baptist Church in Grapevine for 42 years. And we're just discussing with him, I hung around, my dad hung around that group of preachers that Brother Holmes hung around since I was 4 or 5 years old. So I've known him for a long time, over 30 years at least. And I appreciate Brother Holmes, you come. And I don't mean to tell your age or anything, just, yeah.
Thank you.
4 or 5 years old.
Makes me sound old, doesn't it? I don't know, for some reason or other, amongst all these veterans, I feel safe. I have in the back, on one of the tables back there, the little keychain, wrist bracelet, or a card. A lot of veterans who served in combat, after they come home, of course, they don't talk about it. It's something they want to forget. But many times, something called post-traumatic stress disorder, commonly known as PTSD, kind of sets in, and they don't know where to turn. On the table back there, you'll find this little keychain, the wrist bracelet, and the card. Pick one up, because it has an emergency number on that you can call should you need help. I am delighted to be here today, and of course, as Brother Crawford would put it, at my age, I'm happy to be anywhere. Like Brother Henderson. November the 11th is a very special day. It's not the beginning or the ending of war or to mark some great battle. It's a day that America has set aside to remember our men and women in uniform that served this country. And every man or woman that has served has a story that they could tell. Am I telling that right? I know I have many. One of them, for example, I was 17 years old when I joined the Army in 1948. I'd issued all of my stuff and took basic training in California. Fell out one morning for an inspection. We stood there, you know, like this, and the sergeant come by, got in front of me, looked at me, and said, "Soldier, did you shave today?" I said, "No, sir, I don't shave." "Was you issued a razor?" "Yes, sir." "You get up in that barracks, and you get up there and shave. Hurry up and get back down here." I run upstairs, I got that razor out, I lathered up real good, took that razor and shaved that soap off my face and dried it and run back down. He got in front of me and looked, and he said, "Now that looks better. You will shave every morning in this man's army." Ladies and gentlemen, I didn't even have a blade in the razor. I was afraid of cutting myself. We all have stories that we could tell. But every veteran lived by a strict code of conduct. They understand the meaning of discipline, personal accountability, loyalty, dedication, and personal sacrifice. Veterans who served in combat know and live with the fear of serious injury or loss of life. I stand before you today, a humble representative of my generation who stood to defend what America holds dear. Those who came after me stood for the same thing. And those serving today still stand and fight to defend what America stands for. Some of you served in the greatest generation of World War II. On the battlefields around the world. Many from my generation, we fought in Korea to defeat the spread of communism into all the world. And those who served in Vietnam served for the same purpose. If it wasn't for those men and served in Korea and Vietnam, we may be communists today or communist ruled. I am thankful for the men who served. But America is still at war. But our war is with terrorism. The years are passing fast. And the young men and women in uniform today serve with distinction and courage. They are fighting a different kind of an enemy. An enemy that does not wear the uniform of a country. He does not fight under a particular flag because he is the enemy of terrorism. We live in a time of global economic crisis and social change. Most nations face the same enemy. And not since World War II has the world seen a conflict that involves so many. It's not a political or an ideological war. It's a war between good and evil. We are at war with militant extremists that threaten our way of life. We are at war with an enemy that is willing to sacrifice innocent women and children for their cause. And they will not embrace peace. They are intolerant to democracy and those who do not have the same religious views that they have. I believe we should remember and honor veterans. This is Veterans Day, and I thank you. I thank Brother Crawford for having this special day. It's been well put together. I thank you, veterans, and I salute you for your service.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I thank God I was born in America.
I mean,
as a boy, little boy, I had a view of America that made me proud because ours was a country of principle, of decency, and righteousness. Am I telling that right? As a young man, I had the privilege to fight in Korea to protect us and to defeat the spread of communism. As a mature soldier, I still get chills when I see that American flag waving in the breeze or hear our national anthem. And can I tell you that as an old soldier, I still get a tear in my eye when I hear those 24 notes of taps being played over one who has given the ultimate sacrifice. But God and America, we've always been joined together. Our founding fathers saw fit that this nation was intertwined together with God. It's on our buildings in Washington. It's in our Pledge of Allegiance now. And it's in our national anthem. Go to the second stanza, I think it is, and you'll find it in our national anthem. Well, America's a great nation. We were founded on Christian faith, inspired by Christian love, guided by Christian truth. We have been nurtured by Christian prayer and protected by men and women who wore the uniform of America's military.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have an illustrious past and we have a hopeful future.
Amen.
We have the Statue of Liberty and we have a Liberty Bell. But may I remind you that one is cracked and the other is corroded. But what we still have is God and prayer. Today we remember our veterans. We must remember that the liberty and freedom that we enjoy has been paid for with blood. Thus the message, the soldier, and the cross. If you have your Bible, let me take a text from 2 Timothy chapter 2, the first four verses. 2 Timothy chapter 2, the first four verses. We could call this the soldier and the cross, or we could call it the sacrifice of God and country. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. My fear today is this: America is getting away from God. And we're going at high speed. Once America stood for morality, patriotism, and spirituality. Those three things that America was really founded and grounded upon is almost a thing of the past. But in our text in 2 Timothy, it's about an old soldier by the name of Paul. He's not in the army of Rome or of Israel, but he is a soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen. Timothy is to learn more than theology from Paul. He is to learn to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ and not quit when the going gets rough. Being led by the Holy Spirit of God, he writes to young Timothy to encourage him in the battle of the Lord. When I joined the Army in February the 20th, 1948, we were all recruits were turned into soldiers. The military instilled in us the concept of discipline and obedience. We endured hours of drilling, marching, physical exercise, all to toughen us up. Because, listen, a good soldier does not quit just because he faces a difficult task or a dangerous mission. They do not quit. When I joined the Army on February the 20th, 1948, Uncle Sam put me in uniform. Best dressed I'd ever been in my life. I mean, really, I ate the best food I ever had in my life. Most everybody else complained about it. But I enjoyed it. When I was discharged, I took the uniform off. Now, I believe this with all of my heart. America makes their military uniforms out of the best material possible. But you take off your uniform and hang it in the closet and let it hang there for about 10, 15, 20 years. You get it out and try to put it back on, and that thing has shrunk. Am I telling that? When I joined God's army, December the 9th, 1956, God put me in uniform. You go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and you read about it. And there's no taking the uniform of God off. We are clothed for battle. Now there's no medals or decorations down here, but there's great blessings. And great is our reward when we get to heaven. As a Christian soldier, we are to endure hardness and not quit. We are not to entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life, but we are to please Him who has chosen us to be a soldier. America's military has fought nearly every place in the entire world. But no matter how high-tech war may become, it all comes down to the men who drive the tanks, man the ships, fly the planes, drive the Humvees, and carry the rifles. As a soldier in Korea, I carried a rifle like this one. This is the M1 Garand. If there's any Korean War veterans or at the end of World War II, you remember using this rifle. It's one of the nation's best, or was the best at the time. The M1 Garand. You learn your weapon real well. They teach you to take it apart, clean it, and put it back together. Even that you can do it in the dark or you can do it blindfolded. You knew this weapon good because your life depended upon it. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, as Christian soldiers in God's army, you need to learn the Word of God. I tell you because your spiritual life depends upon your knowledge of this book. Just as a soldier learns to use this weapon, the Christian soldier learns to use this one. Am I telling that right? Now, when you get in combat, and many times you'll get in close combat fighting, that's when you insert the bayonet. It goes on the rifle just like that. That's for close-in fighting. While they're off at a distance, you can fire. But there comes a time when the enemy will rush you, and you have to be ready for hand-to-hand combat. You had to be ready in your mind for close-in fighting, because can I tell you, the devil will mess with your mind and tell you the things of the Word of God is not true. Learn to use the Word of God in your spiritual life. Now, do you ever feel ganged up on? When you're ganged up on, they're too far out, they're too close up, but if they ever get to be too many of them, you have a hand grenade. And can I tell you, you've seen in movies where they grab it like that and pull the pin? Uh-uh. That'll pull your teeth out. But when they gang up on you, you throw a hand grenade in their midst. Now, there are times when John 3:16 is not enough. You need to learn more Scripture to help you in your spiritual warfare. In combat, when a soldier is killed, if there is time, the bayonet is put on his rifle, and the rifle is stuck up. Got to be sticking straight. The rifle is stuck up by his side, and his steel helmet. Well, I knew there'd come a day when it would happen. It never. And that marks the place of a fallen soldier. What kind of men are these? These men that we remember this Veterans Day. For their heroism, their services, and their sacrifices. Most but citizen soldiers, sailors, airmen, marine, Coast Guardsmen. Men from our cities, our farms, our schools, and college campuses. Men not dedicated to the profession of arms. Are skilled in the art of war. Just ordinary men and women like our sons and daughters. The soldier that's inspired by the sublime cause to defend their country, their native land, the home of their birth and childhood. What kind of men are these that lay down their life on the altar of our country's needs? These citizen soldiers, these comrades in arms, men who know the call of the bugle at reveille and taps at the end of the day, men whose feet take them in the battle to hear the whine of the bullet, the ceaseless rattle of the machine gun, and the distant cry of a fallen buddy. What kind of men are these common men with uncommon valor? Men who force march by day, live in a foxhole at night, weakened by battle, yet willing to fight on because their buddy depends on them. On they go till they stop and die. They burn out in minutes all that life owe them in tranquil years. They grow old in their youth. They die in their prime. I have grown old, but I remember those who served with me, just kids, 19, 20-year-old kids. They never grew old, but I did. What kind of men are these who leave their family and their loved ones, their wives and their sweethearts, and fight on foreign soil to defend someone they don't even know? On they go. Men who marched to unknown fame, where today a white cross or a government marker marks the place of their memory. Just Friday, I had a funeral of a Vietnam veteran. He was the last man that I won to the Lord at Veterans Day 2003 at the church in Grapevine. A hardened sinner. But when he got saved, he said, "If I die before Brother Holmes, I want him to preach my funeral." I preached that funeral on Thursday, and we laid him to rest in the Dallas-Fort Worth National Cemetery just this past Friday. A hero among heroes, waiting for the resurrection of the coming of the Lord. We may not know the joys and sorrows of their life, but ladies and gentlemen, we should always remember the sacrifice of their death. But today I want to tell you of a greater war. Greater than all wars. It's a war between right and wrong, good and evil, righteousness and unrighteousness. And it took place on Calvary. On Calvary is where Christ died. That's where He wore the crown of thorns. We have the soldier. We have the cross. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." What a verse. Did you ever count the words in John 3:16? There's 25 words in John 3:16. You start at the beginning, you start counting. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son" is the 13th word. You can start at the end with "life" and count backwards. The 13th word is "son." You go in with God's love. You meet the Son. Everything hinges on the Son. And you come out with everlasting life. What a verse. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Calvary. It's where we see man at his worst and God at his best. It's where we see the Son of God dies that the Son of Man might live. Calvary's where the angels wept and the devil rejoiced. Calvary's where the sins of the world was laid upon Him who knew no sin. Calvary, where we see the depth of man's sin and the height of God's divine grace. It's Calvary where the cry of triumph was heard. It's finished. The victim had become the victor. The suffering was over. Christ had paid the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. On the cross, though, a war between righteousness and unrighteousness was being waged. A war that affected the whole world. Soldiers, they have been doing battle and war for hundreds of years. The soldiers always fought. And when the soldier died, he died for his country. Oh yes, unconditional surrenders have been signed. Peace treaties have been accepted. Truce agreements have brought about a ceasefire. But nothing is really finished with this one. And they're still fighting today. The soldiers are still fighting. But with this one, I wish I could sing. I'd sing for that old song, "The Battle Is Over." But if I started singing, you'd get up and leave. So, the battle is over, and Jesus is Lord. Oh, I can tell you about the soldier. He's one of us. He's like us. He's our kids. He's our son. He's our daughter. This one is the Son of Man. But you get to this one. This one is the Son of God. Who loved us so much that He gave Him to die upon Calvary's cross that we might be saved. Oh, can I tell you? The soldier died a natural death. Oh yes, perhaps he died from his wounds. From loss of blood, perhaps. His heart stopped beating. He died a natural death. But this one, He said, "No man take my life from me. I lay it down that I might take it up again." And can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, on the third day, He arose from the grave. Now one day, this one over here, who lay asleep in Flanders Field and in cemeteries around the world, one day they too will be resurrected. But today we wait on the coming of the Lord. Oh, I wish I could describe Him to you. This one I can describe. He's me. He's you. He's our kids. This one is. Oh, but this one is so different. Oh, can I just tell you that on His mother's side, His name was Jesus. On His father's side, they called Him Emmanuel. On His mother's side, when He was in the temple at 12 years of age, He was disputing with the doctors of law. But on His father's side, He's just always been. On His mother's side, He's from Bethlehem. On His father's side, He's from New Jerusalem. On His mother's side, He'd be crucified. But on His father's side, He'd rise again and sit at His father's side. Oh, I wish I could tell you about Him. He is King of kings. He's Lord of lords. His office is manifold. His promises are sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His grace is sufficient. He can walk on water. I just wish I could describe Him to you. I mean, He is indescribable, He is indestructible, and He's irresistible. Oh, yes. Can I tell you that you can't outlive Him and you can't live without Him? You can't kill God. What weapon would you use? Well, you try to destroy Him with fire, He'll refuse to burn. You try to destroy Him with water, He'll walk on it. You try to destroy Him by putting Him in a grave, He'll rise again. You can't destroy Him. Let me tell you something about Him. In chemistry, He turned water into wine. In biology, He was born without natural conception. In physics, He disproved the law of gravity by walking on water and ascending up into heaven. By economics, He disproved the law of diminished return by feeding 5,000 with 2 loaves and 5 fish and 12 baskets left over. Can I tell you something about Him? In medicine, He don't need it. In history, He's the beginning and the end. In government, He's called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And in religion, you ain't going to heaven without Him. Can I tell you that God so loved the world that He gave His life. This one loved His country and He laid down His life. Oh, the soldier and the cross, what a difference. When Jesus died, His precious blood was shed for the sins of the whole world. Am I telling that right? Amen. But this one, when He died, His blood was shed just for His country, His family, His home. The blood of this one can give you a peace that you cannot comprehend or understand. The soldier died to give us the American way of life that we enjoy. Jesus died to give us eternal life. The soldier, He died for His country. Christ, He died for the whole world. This one was the Son of Man who died for us. This one was the Son of God who died for us. Can I tell you about this one? We have their memory. But with this one, you can have His person in the form of the Holy Spirit. If you've never been saved, just trust Him as your Lord and Savior. And He'll save you, and the Holy Spirit will take up His abode in your heart. On this one, when the medic saw this scene, and if you've ever seen it, you know what it looks like. You see the rifle, the boots, the helmet. If you've watched the news any, you know that, and you've seen this picture. It's about the fallen soldier. When they see this, they know there's no hope. There's no hope. But when you come to this one, don't get ahead of me, brother. You don't stop at the cross. You go to the empty tomb, and that's our only hope. Our hope is in Christ Jesus. Our security today as Americans and what we hold dear is in the hands of man. Men die. But that which we have in Christ, because of Jesus dying on the cross, we have in our heart, and we shall live forever. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 54, there's a verse that reads like this. Matthew 27:54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. If there's ever a confession that ever military man should make, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, Coast Guard, National Guard, whatever it may be, it ought to be this confession. Truly, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's who He is. Truly, this one is just the sons and the daughters of men. This Veterans Day, as we pause to remember and give thanks to men and women who have served in our military, let us stop and give thanks to Almighty God for the freedom that we enjoy. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're not saved, there's no time like the present to be saved. And if you are saved, there's no time like the present to thank a veteran for their service and to thank God for His Son, Jesus Christ. I think you'll agree with me that America stands in need of desperate prayer. Perhaps when this invitation is given, you will find a place at these old-fashioned altars and kneel and say, God, I thank You for the veterans who have given the ultimate sacrifice for our country. And perhaps if you're not saved, there'll be someone here to open the Word of God and show you from the Word how to be saved. Would you stand with me, please, with every head bowed? Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for that which You have given to us, eternal life through Jesus Christ. We're thankful, God, for the privilege to stand in this sacred ground today to proclaim the Word of God of the soldier and the cross. And Father, it's my prayer today that You will receive glory from our gathering together. Thank You for Brother Crawford and this church and for the men who has put on such a program that honors veterans. That God, now is the time that we do business in prayer, thanking You for the blessings of this country for the men and women who fought to defend our rights, and for the privilege of serving our Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name.